You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg here with San Francisco Chronicles Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau. And Connor's not been working so much on Warriors lately. He's been taking a break to work on this great minor league baseball series. But Connor, this is a big week for the Warriors. It's the NBA draft lottery tonight, Tuesday night. And they have as many as two picks that they can get in the draft lottery. So I thought you and I can get together and talk some Warriors for a little bit, specific to tonight's lottery, what's at stake, and some options that they may have in the draft or with these draft picks and a potential trade and things like that. But the headline is this Minnesota pick, right? Because the Warriors' own pick is slotted at number 14, 97% chance, 98% chance that it stays right there. So obviously chances are that it'll end up staying at number 14. But this Minnesota pick, top three protected, the crown jewel of the Andrew Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell swap from a couple years ago, we're finally going to get at least an answer on what the value of that pick will be. Do you think that the best, what is the best case scenario, Connor? Is it they get the pick this year at, obviously get, they can get it at number 4, number 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, is it that it conveys this year and they get it, or it goes to next year as an unprotected pick? What do you think the best case scenario is?
100% the best case scenario is that they get it this year. You know, of course, you want to get it at number 4 because this is kind of a top heavy draft in certain ways. There's five guys that I think are considered potential perennial all stars in the league, and then you know Scotty Barnes, who's kind of that sixth guy, is also really solid. So if you can get in that top six range, you're feeling really darn good about yourselves. As you mentioned, they have no chance of getting fifth, so either 4 or 6, they're going to be feeling really good. But I would honestly rather have the 10th pick in this draft than have them waiting a year for it to convey next year, because Minnesota's starting to trend in the right direction. They finished this past season pretty strong. Anthony Edwards was looking like a rookie of the year caliber guy. I like the way their young core is kind of coalescing. And so I don't necessarily think that they're a playoff team next season, but I think that they're probably going to be a late lottery team next season in a draft that is significantly weaker than this draft. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple guys that could be, you know, generational caliber guys potentially, but outside of the first couple picks, it's really anyone's guess probably next year. And so I would much rather have 10 in this draft than maybe a mid to late lottery pick next year. Also, when you talk about the Warriors timeline, you know, as we've talked about many times on this podcast, the Warriors need to win now. They need to capitalize on the rest of Steph and Draymond and Klay's primes. And it would be very helpful if you have this asset now, as opposed to having to wait a year. Because, you know, I don't think it's likely that the Warriors would keep both picks if they get their own pick and Minnesota's pick. I think that they would try to package it for a trade, maybe even move up. But regardless, this Minnesota pick this year would be a huge asset for them.
Yeah, I think obviously you'd want it at number 4 or even at number 6 or 7. I think you would prefer to have that right now than to have that convey. I don't know if I'm all the way with you as in terms of I'd rather have 10. I don't know what the difference between the number 10 and the number 14 pick in this draft is. I really don't think that there's much of a difference. So if you can even get one of those guys, I'm okay with that, and then have that pick convey to next year. I don't really care what Minnesota is going to be next year. I just think an unprotected pick is such a scarce asset in this league. You just don't see teams trade unprotected first rounders. And so I don't really care what the draft looks like next year or how good Minnesota is going to be next season. You got an unprotected pick. You could still move that. I don't know I think an unprotected pick next year would be just as valuable in a trade as the 10th pick this year. As far as just straight up trade value on like an Excel spreadsheet. And like you said, you've already got your own 14th pick. So it's not like you're missing out on an opportunity for a player. Like the player that you're going to get at 10 and at 14 are very similar. So, but there's no doubt that the best case scenario would be getting this 4th pick, the 6th pick. And you know, listeners to the show, people watching on YouTube right now, they know that they know what the odds are at this point, right? We've gone over it for basically a whole year now. But Joe Lacob told The Athletic recently, and this is the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, that the Warriors are planning on using, if they get these two picks, both of these picks. And that reflects basically what I've been saying for a couple of months now, is that the Warriors, if they end up with two picks, would be very comfortable taking two rookies. And I could disagree with that. Anybody could disagree with that. And I do disagree with that. I've been very vocal about, hey, don't add two 19-year-olds to this roster. But the Warriors are prepared to do that, right? And so what Joe Lacob told The Athletic, I thought, is important, because do we think that that is the right approach? And moreover, Connor, what do you think about that approach? The fact that this is a team that has 13 guys under contract, 12 for next year, 12 if you don't count Allen Smiley-Geach. They're gonna, if they could have two picks, I mean, by the time you add these two rookies, you're looking at basically 14 guys under contract for next year. Now, there's things they could do with Damian Lee and Michael Mulder. Maybe they try to get off of a guy like Eric Paschal or something like that. But that's kind of the team, right? Like, it's going to be what we just saw plus two rookies. You get Klay Thompson back. What do you think about that team in this Western Conference?
I still think it's a piece away from being legitimate bona fide contenders. I think that that team, without a big swing, without another big piece, would probably be a top four team in the West. But I think that they need a big trade or some sort of big addition to put them over the top and be bona fide contenders. I do think the Warriors would be willing to take both, but it wouldn't be plan A. I don't think they actively want to take both, but, you know, you do what you can, and if you can't make a trade that makes sense, then, yeah, sure, you're willing to use both picks, assuming they get the Minnesota pick. And I think it would probably be a situation where you would try to use one of those on a ready-made guy who you can plug into the rotation next season, and then – maybe be more willing with that other pick to take a gamble on a more high upside guy who's not super ready. You know, maybe someone like a Keon Johnson from Tennessee, who
right.
has all-star potential but is still very raw. And then, you know, the flip side of that being someone like Davion Mitchell from Baylor, who maybe doesn't have that kind of upside, but I think can come in next season and be a top eight rotation guy for a winning team.
Yeah. So
I would, both guys you could get in, you know, that 7 to 10 range.
I think I would flip that. I would disagree with that. I think if the Warriors end up with the, let's call it 7 and 14, I would go high upside at 7 and then take the safe guy at 14. Right. And
yeah, I wasn't saying where they should take those guys. I was just saying,
I see
what you mean. In that range.
My bad. Yeah, no, I think at 14, you could go high upside, but the chance of that becoming Kawhi or Giannis is so slim that I would just take, like, if a Franz Wagner or a Davion Mitchell or like a Chris Duarte out of Oregon is on the board, just grab him. You know exactly what that player is going to be. Maybe he doesn't have the upside of a Scottie Barnes or, a Keon Johnson or a Josh Giddey or something like that. Maybe you take that at 7, because the chances of a guy with that kind of upside panning out, picked in the top 5, 6 or 7, kind of in that range, is so much higher than getting a player, a high upside player, and hoping that it hits at 14. But to go back to what Lacob was telling, he told this to Tim Kawakami on his podcast. Kawakami asks, would you want two rookies for next year? Lacob says, I know that's what the media is saying. I don't think that, or Kawakami asks, do you want two rookies, or would you trade at least one of them to get a veteran? Here's Lacob's response. Quote, I know that's what the media is saying. I don't think that happens, and I'm sorry, it's just not possible to do. You can't acquire a veteran with a big contract. The numbers are impossible. No team, no matter how, and we're in a good economic situation if we get out of COVID, which looks like we are, but it's just not possible to do. We already have, by far and away, the largest payroll in the history of the league. It's not a question of wanting to do it. It's just not possible. So getting a veteran with a big contract, that's not happening. So stop thinking that. Stop analyzing. Stop saying it. It's just not happening. Joe Lacob remains one of my favorite quotes ever.
Well, first of all, who's saying that? What article have we written that says that they're doing that?
I think the people like Twitter and whatever, and you know how people that work for teams consider the media. Like, if one person says it, the media has now said it, right? Like,
right.
If it's in a tweet by a fan, the media has now said it. But that's not the conversation that I want to have.
Right.
But the conversation I want to have is that Joe Lacob is wrong. That's not true. Right? He's saying it's impossible. I don't think that – I think the question that he's hearing is that –
it's impossible to sign a big-name free agent.
No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about a trade. He's talking about a trade. And the way he's thinking about it is, no, you're not going to trade, let's call it the fourth pick. Miraculously, the Warriors end up with the fourth pick. Let's call it the first pick. Who cares? You can't just trade that pick for a veteran. We know that, Joe Lacob. We understand that. You can't trade a pick for a $30 million a year player. We understand that. You can attach the pick to Andrew Wiggins' contract and then get that player.
Love how Joe Lacob talks.
Like, I love it.
Everyone who disagrees with Joe Lacob is a complete idiot. Is just the stupidest person in the world.
Right. And but in this situation, he's wrong. And I don't know what he is trying. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the motivation behind this. Is it a smokescreen? Is it him just saying I disagree with the media and that's my stance in general and here's why? Here's where I'm at. I think Joe Lacob seriously wants to add two rookies to this roster, and he is obsessed with the idea of being good 8 years from now, 10 years from now. He is absolutely obsessed with it, and this is him not just telling Tim and The Athletic and everybody who's going to listen, we're taking two guys if we get these two picks, and we're going to be very happy with it. It's him maybe even telling his own organization or setting the expectation that, hey, we're going to take two guys, and I'm very comfortable with it. And in fact, this is what I want. For him to say that it's impossible to trade these picks to get a veteran is flatly wrong. You could trade these picks with an Andrew Wiggins contract. You could trade these picks in a Kelly Oubre sign-and-trade type of situation. You could trade – like, there are ways to trade these picks if you want to do it. It's not impossible to acquire a player in –
I think he was just being a little hyperbolic, which he tends to do. but instead of you're right, it's possible, but it is unlikely. And I think it's more unlikely than a lot of fans want to believe. The sign and trade thing with Oubre is
really hard to do.
It's not going to happen because so many things have to happen for that to happen. There's just no way all those dominoes fall perfectly for that to happen. I would not hold on to that dream. It's a nice thing to talk about.
Greater percentage chance that the Warriors are able to facilitate a sign and trade involving Kelly Oubre or that their own pick ends up at number one, which is a 2.6% chance. I mean, I think it's about the same. Right?
They have a 0.5% chance of their own pick landing at number one.
Top four is what.
Yeah,
top 2.4% chance of it ending up at the top four.
Around the same percentage chance.
I agree.
And so it's very small. And the thing is to get like an all-star caliber guy, a lot of things have to happen with that as well. First of all, one has to become available, and there are no indications that that's going to happen. And even if one becomes available, you know, if we're talking like a Paul George or Bradley Beal or even a Domantas Sabonis or something, like the entire league is going to be trying to get that guy. And there's a lot of teams out there that can put together good packages. So there's so many things that would need to happen for that to happen as well. I think that Joe Lacob is trying to, through Tim Kawakami, through that podcast, just get out to the world. Look, stop thinking that because you're going to be disappointed because it's not going to happen, or it's almost definitely not going to happen.
He's right.
Fans need to start thinking about this offseason a little bit more realistically and start asking themselves, okay, assuming they can't make that big swing, what is a good offseason for this team? And, you know, what can they do? And one thing that's going to be interesting about what we find out tomorrow in the draft lottery is, like, you know, where they land in the lottery could really affect their ability to move up in the draft. I think that they would love to maybe package both picks and move up to like the top three and try to get someone like a Jalen Suggs. You know, maybe if they, assuming they don't land the fourth pick, try to move into the top five and get, you know, a Jalen Green type guy.
Right.
But I talked to Kristen Peek on my podcast, the NBA draft reporter for Yahoo, last week. And she basically said anyone with a top four pick isn't trading it.
That's exactly right. And I don't, even if the Warriors were to end up with 6 and 14, I don't think that that's enough to even get the fifth pick or the fourth pick. I just, there's such a drop off between 5 and the rest of that draft. And I had Chad Ford on my podcast yesterday, and he, or last week, and he said that maybe Scotty Barnes, Florida State Scotty Barnes, is making it maybe like a 5.5 person draft. Like he's at number 6 as a prospect.
Yeah.
And there's some front offices.
The guy at 6.
Yeah.
And I personally don't like, I think he could be a really good player, but he's not the same caliber of player as those other 5 guys. No,
I don't think so.
I think but there's a significant drop off to him. And then there's a significant drop off from 6 to the rest of the guys. I mean, the Warriors could draft the guy at 7 that they'd won at 14. I mean, it's a really fluid draft.
Yeah.
In the mid to late lottery.
I do want to discuss some of these options that they have in the draft. But first, it's time for the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. In sports, if you think joy only happens when you win, think again. Look at the world's most successful athletes. They don't spend all of their days grinding away. They take time to enjoy themselves, like having a Michelob Ultra with friends, like I've often had with Connor. You and I have shared many Michelob Ultras. Because they know that happiness is the key to winning, and not just the end game, but the whole game. And Connor, I wanted to make the Player of the Week Klay Thompson. And the reason I say that is because he has had such a good time, including people on his Instagram accounts lately, that I think it just deserves a shout out. And over the weekend, he talked about how he's expecting to be back by the start of the next season, and he knows that he won't be 100%, but he's ready to be back there. And he's telling us all of this while he's not wearing a shirt and he's on a boat in the middle of the bay, I think, or somewhere. What do you think about Klay just including people in his Instagram life?
Well, first of all, sometimes when I think about how I want to live my life, I think about Klay, and I think about what would Klay do, because he is going about life the right way. I think his priorities are pretty solid. I think he knows what matters in life. I think, not to say he hasn't had his down moments, especially in the past 2 years, not being able to play, but I think he's got a really good approach to life. And, I think you can see just through his social media and talking to people around him that there's a lightness to him now that didn't exist during the season. I think he was disappointed that his team lost in the play-in tournament, but I'm sure there was a part of him that was relieved because it was so hard for him to watch those games knowing that he couldn't play in them. And now that the season's over, he can just look ahead to next season when he's coming back. And that's, there's gotta be a levity to that. But yeah. I could have Klay as my player of the week every week, regardless of whether or not he's playing, just because of who he is. And I don't think you can understate how big it's going to be when he comes back, not just from an X's and O's standpoint, but from like an emotional standpoint. That's going to be a big day. Whenever he has his first game, probably won't be the season opener, but whenever he has his first game back, I hope it's at Chase Center because it's going to be insane.
Yeah, and we can all enjoy Michelob Ultra at the end. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories in my refrigerator right now. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Let's also take a minute to talk about Credit Karma. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more with a Credit Karma money spend account. You can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for just making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Credit Karma Money, progress starts here. And right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Again, go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and win and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Connor, you mentioned something earlier in regards to expectations and what fans should expect from this offseason. I think it's a really key point that we should explore a little bit more. This idea that, hey, the Dallas Mavericks were eliminated. We're getting hit pieces on Kristaps Porzingis in the media. The 76ers were eliminated. Ben Simmons, what's up with him? It's something I explored on my Monday show. Every big name that's out there, and look, I don't mean this as a hit on Warriors fans, right? I'm just saying every fan base is going to look at every big name and say, I wonder, which I understand, totally understandable. It's an exercise worth having. All right, big names out of the picture. By the way, I don't think that the Warriors should trade Andrew Wiggins for Kristaps Porzingis, even if the Mavericks wanted to do that, and I don't think that they would. And we could talk about Wiggins for Ben Simmons.
I think Wiggins is a better player than Kristaps.
I think Wiggins is a better player than Kristaps Porzingis. At least, and without all the locker room issues that we've apparently learned about in these reports that I was talking about. Ben Simmons for Wiggins isn't happening for a lot of reasons, but mostly that the Sixers would just hang up. They wouldn't do that, even after the playoff series that Ben Simmons had. But absent the big names. And look, if Damian Lillard, if Bradley Beal, if Ben Simmons, if those guys are on the table, on the trade block, Bob Myers has to at least make the phone call. We're not saying that that doesn't happen, right? You have to at least explore it, make the phone call, make contact. But it is just so unlikely that that happens. And the Warriors are prepared for it not to happen. And I think that there's an expectation from Warriors fans that, hey, we're just waiting for the next big swing. The Warriors aren't waiting for the big swing. They'll take the big, like, if that player becomes available, they'll explore it. They have to. But they're not, their title hopes aren't pinned on that happening, which I think is an important point to make. Right, and they're not.
As a front office, your job is to put yourself in a position to be opportunistic, which I think the Warriors are doing. They've stockpiled assets. They're in a position where they can offer a compelling package should that happen. But like we said earlier, a guy needs to become available, and there's no guarantees that's going to happen. So you can't be thinking.
And that player would want to play for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like akin to like you really wanting, your dream job, but your dream job, isn't available. Like there's no opening. The guy who currently has that job is still in it. There's no signs that he's leaving. You can't plan your life around getting that dream job. You have to plan your life around, going about your day to day. And if that dream job becomes available, then you apply. But, it's the same thing.
The Warriors planned in 2016 to have the cap space needed to chase Kevin Durant or another max level free agent, right? But that was before Steph Curry's big contract extension, before Klay's big contract, before Draymond's big contract. It was before all of that. It was when you had the flexibility to do that. The Warriors, in making that D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins trade, added a draft pick because in part they wanted the flexibility, right? But you're paying your core. You are very much committed to the Steph, Klay, Draymond core. With those three guys alone, not to mention the Andrew Wiggins contract and everything else that you have on the books, you're basically a capped out team. There is not an opportunity to do the Kevin Durant chase anymore or the cap space chase anymore. You could still plan, like you said, for other things that you could do, like some flexibility here and there. But everything should be geared towards this is our core and we got to supplement them. So I do think that the Warriors are prepared to say, hey, let's use these draft picks the best we can. And let's just basically say, hey, Steph's our MVP. Draymond is still an all-star caliber player. We hope that Klay Thompson can return to being an all-star caliber player. That might be the biggest swing factor in all of this. Forget what they do with these draft picks. Connor, right? I mean, if Klay doesn't come back and be Klay, or at least 80-90% of what he was, then forget it. I don't care what you do. There's just, you got Klay Thompson for $30 million on the books, and if he's not close to what he was, that's really hard to bounce back from, just that financial implication. But I do think what we saw from Kevin Durant in these playoffs bodes well for what Klay Thompson can do, if that's really where the science is going on this thing. I guess we'll find out. But I do think there's a step after that where, okay, we're prepared to use these picks. I would just, my biggest fear for a if I'm a Warriors fan, my biggest fear would not be, hey, can we get the big fish? Can we get the big name? It's, are we really going to add two more 19-year-olds to this roster? Is Joe Lacob that serious about it? And by the way, and the only reason I bring that up is because every time Joe Lacob has spoken in public, he has seemed very serious about it. And everybody that I talk to in the Warriors organization is saying that they're very comfortable taking two rookies. Now, again, I don't know if that's posturing, smoke screening, whatever we want to call it, Connor. What kind of sense are you getting from them? Because I don't know that that's the right move, but I think it's the move that they're leaning towards.
It might be their only option.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But I would at least explore doing something with them.
They need to be okay with it because they might not have a choice. I mean,
there's a difference, Connor. There's a difference between draft. There's a difference between being okay
and only have one pick in this draft and it be 14.
I'm not saying that. There's a difference between being okay with it and making it plan A. Do you think
it's not plan A? It's not plan A. I know for a fact it's not plan A.
Is plan A is what then? Plan A is getting the superstar. But we might
plan A is getting the superstar.
Okay.
Plan B is trying to trade up.
Okay, and that's not happening.
Yeah, plan C is keeping both picks.
So plan D should be keeping both picks. Plan C should be moving these picks for even somebody who might not be worth the pick but can help right away. That's my argument. That's all I'm saying. We should layer in another plan in there. And yeah, we shouldn't just be this team should not be so eager and ready. Because there's no reason. There's no reason to add two 19-year-olds to this.
I just don't think there's a huge market value for like 7 to 14 in this draft. Could you get, could you get a helpful rotation player? Yeah. But I mean, you'd have to give up salary to do that. You'd have to give up probably a helpful rotation piece. And if you look at the Warriors payroll right now, like there's just not a lot of guys to package in a trade like that. I mean, they're super top heavy payroll wise. Like their core guys all make a ton of money. Then everyone else is actually a pretty decent contract. I mean, maybe to do a deal like that, you need to give up like a Kevon Looney or something. Cause Kevon is the only contract that's like in that middle range. And Kevon is a really helpful player who's probably your starting center next season. So that's
the only way around it is to take the player and then trade the player, sign the player and then trade the player. Right, so you agree to the deal, and you're basically picking for another team. That's the only way to do it. And you're right; you're not getting a $20 million player that way. But you can maybe take both players and trade. Like I wouldn't even trade both players for one player. That to me isn't worth it. But can you sign if you get somebody at 6 or 7? Now I don't know what the cap slots are this year, but could you trade a $5 or $6 million contract or a $7 million contract or whatever it ends up being for a player who makes that kind of money? Or maybe you take, okay, let's take that. And then Smiley Geach's contract and Pascal's contract and Damian Lee's contract, and you build it all up, and now we have something like a $9 or $10 million player that we could get, and then that team could just waive those non-guaranteed deals and then get the rookie that they want. That would be the only option. I'm not saying that they could just easily do it. Like if it's plan C, it's not something that they can execute just by having it as plan C. I'm just saying it ought to be a plan. Just as we're saying that plan A isn't realistic and plan B isn't realistic, however realistic plan C is, it should at least be plan C. And then at that point, you get to plan D, which is, hey, let's just take the two rookies, right? And I just don't even think that they're thinking about plan C the way I'm talking about it. I think they're saying, okay, are we getting Damian Lillard? No. Can we trade 7 and 14 for number 3? No? All right, cool. Let's just take these two picks. Ultimately, that might be where they end up anyway. I just think there's a step in between that. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think, bottom line is if they get both picks, there's a good chance they will probably end up having to keep both. And, you know, the name of the game is always talent, stockpiling talent. And look, yes, you don't want to get younger, but I think you can get players in this range who can be helpful. And there's the Warriors really need to round out their rotation. There's only like seven guys that I would feel comfortable playing meaningful minutes in the playoffs. And yes, I know a rookie is probably going to make more mistakes than a veteran guy, but I think talent can kind of overshadow some mistakes. And, you know, there's some guys, you know, we talked about Davion Mitchell. I think he would be a plug and play guy. Corey Kispert from Gonzaga is an elite shooter. I think could be very helpful right away. Moses, I like Moses Moody. When I talked to Kristen Peek last week, she was very high on Jonathan Kuminga, who is probably a top five guy. She feels strongly that if they get the fourth pick, they should take Kuminga.
I disagree.
I don't like Kuminga as much as Jalen Green.
It has nothing to do with Kuminga. To me, as a prospect, it's just that he is so raw, and the Warriors just don't have the playing time necessary to develop Kuminga the way that they would need to in order for him to hit his potential.
He's not physically he's NBA ready, but you know, his decision making, how he plays off the ball, he's kind of a ball stopper. His shooting efficiency is not great. I
wouldn't have him in my top if I'm the Warriors. My five, it's a consensus five draft. We know the five, right? If I'm the Warriors, my five doesn't have Kuminga. My five has Scottie Barnes, and that would be it. That would be my top five. And then from there would be my drop off.
I think Kuminga has even higher upside than Barnes. But
no, I do. But I think Barnes is more ready to play right now and is a better fit than Kuminga. I think the Warriors could get the most out of Kuminga. I think Kuminga could very well be a really awesome NBA player. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't think the Warriors can make him into that awesome NBA player. I don't think the Warriors can do it. They don't have the playing time, and they don't have the type of system that he needs. That's all I'm saying.
There's a track record now with Florida State guys. Leonard Hamilton is a former NBA coach, really good at preparing guys for the NBA. Guys who didn't even do a lot at Florida State numbers-wise come into the NBA and are helpful players. And so,
hate that, by the way. As a former Miami Hurricanes fan and UCF grad, I hate that I like all these Florida State guys. It started with Jonathan Isaac, and I just hate it. I just hate
Florida
that I like all
State
these guys.
Florida State has become like my favorite college program.
Stop saying that. No.
How they go about it.
Why did I even invite you on the show? Let's take a quick break to talk about.
They were in the ACC against Florida State. I wouldn't cover games at Florida State. I never thought I would be saying this, but.
Go Turtles.
They have a well-run program.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA playoffs are on. And even though the Warriors aren't a part of it, you can be. Take a look at the spreads, money lines, over-unders, and more at BetOnline. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. I think you get the Hawks right now at 11-1. I mean, if you're a believer in the Hawks winning the championship, 11-1 odds, that's pretty good. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also take a moment to talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car at a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Connor, I'm done talking about the draft with you because you talked about how much you like Florida State, and that's just not going to fly on here. So we're done with that conversation. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, and we have this conversation every offseason, it's one of the favorite questions you like to ask me, so I'm going to turn it around and ask you. Now that we're in off-season mode, and I know you're still working on this minor league baseball series, hard at work, but it would surprise me if you didn't find time to find some new things to explore in your personal life, on TV, food-wise, what is it that you're enjoying right now? What's a new thing that you found yourself enjoying now that the season is over?
Well, we're more in like a 5-day a week work schedule, right, as opposed to in the season where we're basically working 7 days a week. So my girlfriend and I have been getting away almost every weekend and going and just kind of exploring Northern California. I went up to Bodega Bay a few weeks ago, which is gorgeous, kind of exploring the Sonoma Coast. I'd never really spent time up there. I went up to Stanislaus National Forest in Northern California a couple weeks ago. You know, so that's really been a nice perk of the off season for me, is just kind of getting out and doing, I haven't done like any huge trips yet, but doing just kind of those shorter trips, you know, like, and then like this weekend I'm flying out to Austin, Texas for my best friend's 30th, and just to like be able to do those things, mm-hmm, because in season, you know, hey, sorry, bro, I know you're turning 30, but hope you have a good time. Cause we can't really, in a normal season, like we can't just like not go on a road trip because there's not really a replacement for us. So
It's not, and we couldn't, and you couldn't take any trips now. So now that you get to get on a flight and go to Austin, that's new for a lot of reasons.
Exactly.
Wine. I hear you've been drinking some wine lately. Your girlfriend is into wine. What are you learning about the wine world? It's something I've been trying to get you into.
I've learned that I'm really into oaky, buttery, you know, types of wines.
Chardonnays.
I love a good oaky Chardonnay. Didn't even know what that was until recently.
I like to hear you using that kind of vocabulary. Is that next thing you know, you're going to be telling me that you're, I get a lot of stone fruit on this, or I get whiffs of canned asparagus. Like, that's when I really know that you've become a wine snob. You're not quite there yet, though.
Yeah, for sure. It's been fun, though.
All right. Very good. Hiking? Are you hiking in Bodega Bay?
Not Bodega Bay. Did a little bit in Arnold, up in Northern California. That was fun.
Very good. Well, Connor, I've played your minor league baseball series a couple of times. Can you give the listeners a little bit more information on that and exactly what you're working on this offseason? Because I think it's exciting for you, and it should be exciting for your readers.
Yeah. So I put out a tweet a few weeks ago, but I'm kind of expanding my scope in the offseason, where I'm doing a lot of bigger picture, bigger pieces on non-Warriors topics, a wide range of sports topics throughout the Bay Area. So if you've noticed that I haven't been writing as much lately, or at least posting as much lately, I've still been working. I've just been working on some pretty intensive pieces that are coming out in shortly. So like, as you said, I do have a big minor league baseball series, a big three-part series. Part one should actually be dropping tomorrow. Front page of the paper, check it out. And it's basically getting into the plights facing minor league teams, both from the front office all the way down to the players, high level prospects, lower level prospects. There's been a lot of changes to minor league with the restructuring with MLB and all the challenges that they've had to navigate with not having a season last season, and the coronavirus and all these things. And so I've been digging into that deeply with using the San Jose Giants, the low A affiliate of San Francisco, as kind of my lens to get into all that. So that's been really fun. And you know, Wes, like, I love writing about, like, you know, fringe guys. So I got to do a huge piece on like a low level single A baseball player, and like, I'm loving it. So,
The best minor league baseball logo is what?
On the pipeline, I got something on the Oakland Roots, the interesting minor league soccer team in Oakland. I got some other things in the works. So yeah, it's been really fun, and you know, it keeps me engaged. You know, because as much as I love writing and talking about the Warriors, like, we do it all year, so it's kind of nice to just step back every once in a while and, you know, put my fingers in some other places.
Best minor league baseball logo is what? And then we'll get you out of here.
Ooh, that's a phenomenal question. There's a lot of good ones. RIP the Vermont Lake Monsters. They were a victim of contraction, so they no longer exist, but I always liked them. I like the Asheville Tourists. I like there's so many. The Jumbo Shrimps in Jacksonville. I have a college friend who works for them. There's the Rock City Trash Pandas, which is a team in, I think, in Alabama, Madison, Alabama. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones, man. I love minor league baseball. I love the cartoons. I love the mascots. I love it all.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about going when we used to be able to do this, going to Warriors practices, because you weren't wearing, you know, we're not suited up, you know, suited and booted for the game. So we're just rolling in jeans and t-shirts and stuff. But you always had some random minor league baseball hat. And I was like, all right, what do we have today? I don't know that you have a Trash Pandas hat, though. We should get you one of those.
It's a brand new team. I got to get that. Yeah. I just got a Wichita Win Surge hat, which is the new AA team in my dad's hometown in Wichita. So I'll be repping that.
Very good. I expect to see it the next time. Connor Letourneau, the new enterprise writer for San Francisco Chronicle, doing a whole lot of great things over there. Make sure to check him out at @con_cron. Connor, thanks so much for jumping on. Thanks to everybody who tuned in today on YouTube. Remember, brand new YouTube channel. Rate, review, subscribe, like it. I was told to say just pound the subscribe button or something like that. Do that. Remember to also follow new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can reach me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Enjoy your day. Thanks for listening. Connor, thanks again, man.
Thanks, man.